Natural Solutions with Dr. J, your source for time-tested and cutting-edge natural medicine approaches to optimize your health, with your host, Dr. J. Sordian.
Question.
Okay, hi, it's Dr. J here, and I am here doing an interview with America's number one voice coach.
Premier voice trainer. America's premier voice trainer. I'll tell you why.
So tell us your name and about your book. And then also we were talking about the brain and how the voice influences the brain and can keep the brain alive and as awake as possible as one aspect of both optimizing brain health as well as helping to stave off Alzheimer's perhaps.
Okay. Well, an interesting thing about it is that people who have Alzheimer's can remember song lyrics.
Very true. That's a lot of memory care places, and they use that to get them wide awake again.
Absolutely. So there is a very definite connection between the voice and the brain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I've written 7 books on the outer voice, the speaking voice, the voice that you sing with, the mechanical voice.
So each of those books is about like the singing voice, the mechanical voice?
Right. Well, I have the Wilson Female Voice series, which I have the Businesswoman's Voice book, and the Singing Woman's Voice book, and the Smart Woman's Voice book.
Oh, fascinating.
And then my latest one is The Voice of Success,
mm-hmm.
a woman's Guide to a Powerful and Persuasive Voice.
Well, fantastic.
And I have added to that 9 actual voice lessons,
mm-hmm.
one at the end of every chapter, that are video voice lessons.
Wow. So once they buy the book, then they also have access to these particular ones that are online that it's kind of exclusive.
Right.
But then they can listen to it over and over and practice.
Right. Right. And learn about how the voice operates.
Wonderful.
Because the voice basically is a mechanical instrument, which people don't really realize. And it works on cause and effect. If you do this, then the effect is that.
Hmm.
Now, whether it's not being able to breathe correctly or whether to not, your voice is too high, it's up here, or it gets really low, and then you lose it. So there's all kinds of interesting things that are connected to the voice. And we all are programmed in a very interesting way because the voice is very personal.
Yeah, I mean, it's our identification. People can hear you over the telephone or whatever, and they know you, if they know you. It's very fascinating.
Right.
It's like fingerprints.
Well, there are no 2 voice prints alike.
Yeah, it's so fascinating.
And the thing of it is, everything in your body, because it is connected to your body, it's not like an instrument that you can put in a case and stick in a drawer or in a closet.
Yeah.
It goes with you. It's happy when you're happy. It's sad when you're sad. It's angry when you're angry. And everything that you do, all of your emotions, have a different timbre of voice that goes with it.
Very interesting.
And you have a habit. Actually, voice comes from your environment. In other words, if you grow up with a mother that talks like this, you know, basically what happens, I get people that say, can you do anything about my voice? And then they say, meet my mother. And their mother says, hello, how are you? You know, so basically you are a product of your environment when it comes to your voice.
Because we pattern after what we hear. And we try to match that. Like any language, people are saying these different sounds, and so we just have to, like, imitate those sounds.
Right.
And so we would do it in the same way. And is it more gender specific? So, like, a daughter would sound more like a mother versus the father?
No. It's the same thing. I mean, I've met a lot of people, son and dad, where they have the same exact voice.
Right. But could it be the son and the mother? Would there be a little crossover pattern?
Oh, I haven't heard too many guys that talk like that.
No, but I mean the style or how fast they speak or something like that, too.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Well, and then you have accents.
That's
very
true.
So you got the regional thing going.
Which is very fascinating.
It's very interesting, especially if you're from California. Because if we're from California, we're very laid back. It's like, hey, man, what's happening?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
If you're from New York,
exactly.
Then it's very nasal. You know, everything is up here. And if you're from Nashville, then everything is very melodic. So basically how the voice operates, as I said, there's so many things to it.
Yeah.
Now, the good news is that if you really know how the voice does operate, you can change it.
Mm.
You can be whatever you want.
Which obviously you're quite skilled at because you're good at switching between the different accents.
Well,
and
it's easy. Everybody is a voice actor, and I always tell people, your voice can make or break your career. I mean, it's really important, and you are not stuck with the voice that you came in with. Mm.
And so, how would someone know that their voice is killing their career? For example,
a lot of people don't. In my book,
should I ask people around them?
Well, I have a thing to say. How do you tell your best friend that her voice is annoying?
Yeah,
how do you tell your wife that her voice is annoying? The thing about women, and that's why I wrote a lot of books about women. As I said, I'm doing the one for guys now.
Uh-huh.
But I wrote a lot of books for women because I always say we're slightly vocally impaired. You guys have a quarter of an inch longer vocal cord than we do.
Uh-huh.
So what happens is you've got a deeper voice. The thing with women, we get excited and we go like this, and it gets very annoying.
And you don't think men do?
Not like that.
Oh.
No.
Not the same
we reach a place. This is, and not too many people really know this, but guys have a place in their hearing that certain sounds really annoy them. I mean, it's actually physically harmful to them, and they don't really realize.
And these are higher pitch.
It gets to a certain point, and it physically. This is a physical thing again, where you just shut off.
And this is hardwired.
It's hardwired.
Did you say it's hardwired in there?
It's in your DNA.
Yeah,
it's in your hologram.
And
it's in being
the
a guy.
Operates. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you have.
I mean,
this place.
I certainly. You know, I have two daughters.
Yeah.
And so when girls are around and they're out partying, it's like there's a certain point. It's just like, I don't know if I can take it.
Well, no, exactly, because it physically annoys you.
Yeah.
So as a woman who's a speaker or a teacher, somebody that uses their voice, you have to really know where that area is because it's a tonality.
Oh, that makes sense.
It's a tonality that actually vibrates inside of your hearing. So what you do is just turn it off.
Yeah.
So if a female comes at you and goes, I've told you 100 times, you know, and then the more you ignore us, the louder we get.
That's a lot worse. Yes,
the higher we get, which is not the thing to do, because by now, there's no way you're going to hear a word that we say.
Yeah.
Because you've totally turned us off.
That's true.
Because it physically hurts you. And it's not personal.
Yeah.
It is not personal. I remember when Hillary Clinton was running for president, I was called by a lot of radio people because being America's premier voice trainer, they called me and they said, well, what do you think of Hillary's voice? If that was me, it sounds like my mother asking me to lower the toilet seat or take out the garbage. I could not listen to that voice for 4 years.
That's what you said.
No,
that's what they said. They were saying,
they were saying, what's going on with that?
Yeah.
So from a standpoint
of... Oh, very interesting. That makes sense. They would call you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But from a standpoint of like a woman in a power position, and the problem is, as women, if we start lowering our voice like this, then we can only do it if we put weight on it.
And what do you mean weight?
Like this. If we just drop it down into a position, that kills our voice, and it won't last. It will not last. So there's a place where women talk, and there's a place where guys talk.
Yeah.
I mean, we're so different that way from a gender standpoint of view. That if you understand that when I'm going like this, it's because you're not hearing what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is
say,
you know what? I hear what you're saying. Just lower your voice. And then you'll listen. So we have to learn to communicate vocally with each other because the voice is a mechanical instrument. And the good news is you're not stuck with the voice that came in with. If you don't like your voice, which I have so many people that come into my studio and go, I hate the sound of my voice. I hear my voice on the phone, on the recording.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't stand it. Yeah. And I always go, well, if you don't like your voice, how do you expect anyone else to want to listen to it, you know?
Right.
So, as I said, the good thing is you can change it. It's a mechanical instrument. You can change it.
Yeah.
It has parts. And once you learn who's doing what to who inside of your body, then you can create a voice, the perfect voice, to deliver your message.
So, with respect to like brain degeneration, I don't know if you've worked with people who have memory issues or things are starting to fall apart. Does the voice change? I'm just wondering if the voice changes or the ability of...
Well, let me tell you about the brain from a voice standpoint
of
view. Okay.
Thank you. Yeah.
I work with my students in this way because the brain is designed to keep you safe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, exactly. And, the survival brain, and the brain scan.
It's to keep you safe. Yeah. Well, and to keep you from being laughed at, to keep you from being ridiculed.
Oh.
It does that.
Yeah.
So if you're doing something, for instance, let's say you're singing. You want to come in and you want to sing. And I, as a voice trainer, say to you, okay, you can sing up here in these notes. And the brain will go, are you kidding? There's no way you're going to do that. And so what happens is it will not allow the vocal cords to do what they need to do to give you the tonality. Now,
out of some kind of inhibitory process because of emotion or something.
Right, it's there to keep you safe.
Yeah. Ah.
And so if the brain has decided that you're not in a safe, you're not going into a safe zone, in other words, you're in some kind of danger, then what it does to you, it's like stage fright.
Wow.
It gives you the fight or flight,
and
the endorphins come up.
Uh-huh.
First thing that the endorphins do is get you in a position to leave, to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't walk away and they've just announced you, and you got to go on stage, all of a sudden you go out there and you're shaking.
Yeah.
Everything in your body is shaking
because the
adrenaline is pumping through the body. It's not the voice that's shaking. Because when you go out, and you get really, really nervous. But if you look, your hands are shaking.
Mm-hmm.
It's your body that's shaking. And if your body shakes like this,
that makes
guess what's going to happen to the voice?
A tremulous voice of some sort. Yeah.
So I always
it's like if someone's playing an instrument and they do vibrato with their hand, that's going to create the same thing.
And it's not vibrato.
Yeah.
It's vibration.
Ah,
it's absolutely a vibration.
Yeah.
And you can control a vibration.
Mm.
You know, I mean, if there's a podium or a lectern up there, something you can hold on to stabilize your body, don't try to stabilize the voice. It will do no good whatsoever because the body is shaking, causing
that vibration.
Because
in the
voice is physical.
Right.
It's 100% physical.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's ruled by the brain. Because all these parts that you use to get sound don't have a brain. So you're totally at the mercy of, and I even named it, I call it Judge Judy.
Mm.
It's Judge Judy sitting up in your brain that goes, you can't sing that note. You can't go out there and sing. Who do you think you are?
So this is where the inner voice part comes in.
Yeah, absolutely.
That you're going to be doing a lot more with.
Well, because God gave you this amazing instrument, this amazing, amazing instrument. And it really is based on your primal scream.
Fascinating.
It's designed.
The primal scream we're talking about is like when you're just born, right? Or not.
Well,
or that's something deeper than that.
Or when you're riding Montezuma's Revenge at Knott's Berry Farm. And you're about to go down.
What do you do?
You go,
like that. Okay, that scream. Okay,
And it's that scream.
Yeah, yeah.
It's your alarm system.
Uh-huh.
God gave you an alarm.
Totally, I'm freaking out completely. And if I hold it in, it's going to really hurt even more.
It's going to destroy your voice.
Exactly,
you do is we were talking a little earlier, and I said you basically have two diaphragms.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And the one that controls the pelvic, the primal scream is the pelvic diaphragm.
Got it.
Which
got
is
it.
Right so at the base of the rectal area.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And if
that's
you scream...
It's the whole pelvic area holds all the intestine and everything in the bottom.
It's absolutely a compressor.
Exactly.
And what it does is compress the air being pumped by the abdominal diaphragm up through the underside of your vocal cords and out your very open screaming mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it's not designed to hurt you in any way or to bottom out in any way.
Right.
So if you... Yeah, literally. And if you use the body, because the vocal cords do 20%, and once you know that, you stop trying to make those poor little vocal cords.
They do 20%
of your sound. Just 20%, and that's all you get there. So the actual power source, and then most people will go to the abdominal diaphragm.
Uh-huh.
And everybody will say, sing from the diaphragm, so you immediately go to that. That's only a pump.
Mm.
It only pumps air. And if you look at a dog going, panting, that's about what that does.
Uh-huh.
And there's no power in it. The power is in the base of the rectal, the base of the rectal area, the pelvic
floor down there.
It's what you do to cough, sneeze, throw up, have a baby.
Uh-huh.
And I always tell people, do your morning constitution.
Right.
I always say, if you really want to sing or speak loud, push on that pelvic diaphragm like you've got the worst case of constipation on the world.
Oh, interesting.
And, well, if you listen to an opera singer now, here's a male opera singer. No! And they come off of it like
that's
that.
That's interesting.
But that's,
I'll have to pay attention to
but
that.
But that's what that's designed for, because what it does is compress.
Yeah.
And you can sneeze at 100 miles an hour. Katrina was 125.
Wow.
That's how much power you've got in that pelvic diaphragm. It pushes out babies, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah, very powerful.
And it's so strong it can bring your lunch up from your stomach
out.
With vengeance out.
Yeah,
and
projectile.
That, and imagine controlling that power to be able to move your voice.
It's very interesting because you were talking about the brain and the voice being connected as far as survival. And how if the brain says, this is a dangerous situation, it starts to shut the voice down.
Of course.
And in the chakra systems, the base chakra, which is the most survival, is down there in the pelvis at the bottom.
Right.
So there's that strong connection.
The primal scream.
Exactly, the primal scream. Now I get it.
And the vocal cords, the interesting thing, bottom line on the vocal cords, is they're really not designed for you to call, to sing or to speak. The vocal cords are designed to close over your windpipe every time you swallow. Put your finger on your Adam's apple right now and swallow. Do you feel that larynx come up? Okay.
Uh-huh.
At the point that the larynx comes up, the vocal cords close over your windpipe like a steel trap door so you don't choke. So the minute that you start straining without using the body, the minute you go to the vocal cords, because what do you do when you go to sing a note? Or somebody says, hey, we can't hear you back here, or you got to be louder. You try to be louder, and you start pushing on the poor little vocal cords that do
20%. Only 20%, right.
Rather than pushing down on the pelvic diaphragm and going to that compression, adding compression to the voice and not decibel volume.
Mm, makes sense.
Is this making sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Makes a lot of sense.
Now, that's the physical side of it.
Right.
That has nothing to do with the inner voice, okay?
Mm.
But you got to get past the brain to get anywhere near where the inner voice is.
Yeah.
Because the inner voice is there, but the inner voice really isn't in your head, although that's where we hear it. The inner voice, and science is now finding this out, that in your solar plexus, there is a brain.
Hmm.
There is wisdom. There is action down there. And nobody really understands exactly what it is. They know that there's something going on.
Mm-hmm.
And we know we get gut feelings.
Yeah.
And what is a gut feeling? It's something that tells you something. It sends you a message.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go down. I had a gut feeling that
don't
I shouldn't
do that
have turned
or
right.
Do that
or I had a gut feeling of this. So that's your inner brain. I mean, that's your inner brain, and that is your inner voice. Yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily... It can be a feeling type thing versus a sound.
It's never a sound.
Oh, it's
and
never
that's,
a sound. Oh,
that's,
all right.
That's again our problem because we want it to go, hey,
right.
Hey Jay,
right.
You know this is what you
hey,
do.
Hey, do this.
Yeah,
don't
hey,
do
this. Yeah,
watch out,
yeah. And it's not that. It's not something. But you know, I mean, when you get one of those gut feelings, when the phone rings. And you know who it is.
Exactly.
Do you does somebody say, oh, this is blah, blah, blah? No. But you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's an inner knowing.
Yeah.
And as I said, my hero is Albert Einstein, because he spent his whole life trying to figure out how this works, how this inner voice and he says some of the wisest things in the world.
And this is from particular books that you've read or just from tapes?
It's just from observing people and...
But as far as Einstein.
Oh, Einstein. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've read everything that he ever said.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
And the thing about the activity in the solar plexus, you can call it the body brain.
Uh-huh.
It's not the head brain, it's the body brain.
All right.
As I said, science has discovered that, probably maybe 10 years ago, they started working on it. And it isn't no knowledge a whole lot out there, but we know it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're an intuitive person, you know darn good and well something's going on.
Yeah.
And what that is, it's like the shutter of a camera to open up to receive information from the universal mind, from the wisdom that actually surrounds us on another vibratory level although it's still on the physical level.
Oh, yeah, there's so many different energetic forces going yeah. on in our body, is it, and it has energetic forces that
right.
actually set it up more. I mean, I think all the chromosomes, all the different tissue structures and all go in the pattern of an energetic structure. I mean, right. I'm an acupuncturist and all that.
Yeah.
So there's all these different kinds of energetic structures that right. actually create the alignment of the different tissue structures. So it's on top of that, which is what you're probably talking about.
Right. And the thing of it is, and I go back to at the end of his life, Einstein created the string theory, which is based on vibration.
Uh-huh.
And the whole thing was, he had a cello and a violin and talked about music and the vibration of music being on another level of existence, like parallel levels of existence.
Oh, fascinating.
And that's where that came from. But again, that's still on the, it's still in our scope, or it's in our vibratory pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And we, every once in a while, we'll plug into it and we'll go, where did that come from? You know, but it's still there. It's still not on that etherical level yet.
Uh-huh.
So you say, well, okay, there is this inner voice, but you have to get past the brain going, you got to be kidding. You know, you got to be crazy. Now you're hearing things, but it's not. Mm-hmm. So take it down to the gut level, and we accept that. Oh, I had I got this feeling. I got this gut feeling in my gut.
Yeah, because there's actually language
we come up with to describe that. We accept that.
Yeah, yeah.
You start talking about something going on in your brain, and everybody goes, oh, woo-woo, you know, it's got to be crazy. But they would know the gut feeling. Well, mm-hmm. the gut feeling, as I said, is the receptor. And it opens up just like the shutter of a camera to accept.
Yeah.
In other words, if you have a question, how many times have you had a question and you go to sleep at night, you go, oh, God, I don't know what to do about this, and you wake up in the middle of the night and have the answer.
Exactly. So many inventions and discoveries.
Some of the greatest inventions
that's right.
come, and the greatest speeches mm-hmm. are written, and some of our greatest literature comes from that.
From the inspiration of not being in the cerebrum so much, is just going down
right.
to different levels of vibratory patterns.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's all vibrational.
Yeah.
As I said, it comes in on a different vibrational
uh-huh.
level.
Uh-huh.
But it on that vibrational level, you have plugged in to the universal wisdom.
Exactly.
And you've allowed it to come in. But it doesn't come in from the brain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we think about the crown chakra, about everything coming through. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Because the brain will go, you're nuts. You got to be kidding.
So
you know, that's not going to work.
So your inner voice, it's a program, it's a book that you're going to be doing?
Well, I'm writing the book on
right.
it to be able to access.
Right.
And it's, because that's been my goal through my whole life. So I have finally got myself to the point where I've written enough about the outer voice,
uh-huh.
and I'm pretty much an expert. I have people that come from all over the world to work with me. And so I'm at a point now where I'm going, okay, now it's time to really teach people that they have, and this doesn't mean chosen people.
Right.
This is everybody.
Everybody, yeah.
God gave you this amazing, amazing channel, and that's kind of one of those words that's gotten a little bit, like weird, but it's not really, because a channel is something through which something flows.
That's right.
So that's what it is. It's are you going to open up that body brain? Are you going to allow that to open up? But then it has to go to the brain.
Mm.
So it's a matter of training your cerebral brain,
right.
which is, as I said, Judge Judy. Sorry, Judge Judy, if you're out there. You can sue me. But people know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because it's a great
example.
That's pretty much what goes through.
Archive, yeah.
And I go through this with people with singing who go, oh, I'm an alto. And I go, why? Why are you an alto? I mean, you have this amazing instrument.
Said, right.
Well, my
yeah,
choir director
right.
told me I was
yeah,
an alto.
Yeah.
So it takes me two lessons, and I've got them up singing the highest soprano stuff that you can sing.
Wow.
You know?
Fantastic,
Because it's there.
Mm-hmm.
It's an instrument. That's like saying an 88-key piano can only play 40 keys.
Mm.
You know, and you look at all of it and you go, well, why is that?
Why can't I play
that? Yeah, why
there?
Can't I play
why
that?
Can't I go up there?
Oh, you can't play that.
Right.
You know, because then you don't play
not,
that.
It's not in the
yeah.
script.
Or you're a soprano.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they name you, and that came from the church putting people in different places because guys with longer vocal cords are definitely bass. Right, they're going to sing lower. Yeah. And guys have, as I said, a lower voice.
Bass or baritone.
Yeah, but the funny thing about guys is
there's a lot of guys who sing soprano.
I can train a guy to sing soprano. There isn't a guy I can't train to sing soprano. Because all I got to do is bring them back to the time when they were eight.
That's interesting.
You know, that beautiful choir boy.
Right.
And had short vocal cords. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's a matter of lengthening, shortening, thickening, and thinning the vocal cord, just like the strings on a guitar.
Interesting.
Or just like the strings on a cello.
Mm.
That the voice operates the same way, except you don't have all those strings. But inside that vocal cord area in your larynx, you got 60 muscles that lengthen, shorten, thicken, and thin your vocal cords, just like that.
Mm.
And once you learn to do that, to play that, then you can sing.
That's great. So if people want to get your book or find out more about your programs, you have a website, obviously.
Yeah, it's joniwilsonvoice.com.
joniwilsonvoice.com.
Or you can go on Amazon. All my stuff is on Kindle.
Okay,
so,
very
and
good.
The Voice of Success is the greatest bargain in the world because you can get 9 voice lessons. And on March 19th, the male version will be out. And I'm putting 5 voice lessons on that one because you guys don't need as much as I do. You got longer vocal cords.
Yeah, we couldn't deal with 9 lessons. I mean, that's too much.
I got to get it down there where you can tolerate it.
All right, Joni, thank you so much.
You're
this
so
is
welcome.
This is going to really help a lot of people.
Oh, thanks so much.
To buy your copy of Superbrain, Maximize Your Brain Health for a Better Life, go to superbrain-thebook.com. That's superbrain-thebook.com. Information can also be found on naturalsolutionswithdrj.com.